I kind of forgot how to do this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here we find ourselves once again, not together, but we're here making a one-off episode by the magic of technology. Porter Cunningham, your co-host, joined by my friends, co-host of the Scissortail podcast, Will Bowersox and Alan Chapman. Say hello, gentlemen.
Checking in live from the home of the Dallas Rayados, or as I like to call them, Dallas Rayo Dosts.
And I'm checking in from a front porch.
Hey, that sounds nice. So, Will, does this mean that you have already been to the North Texas Rayados team shop and dropped a couple $100 on gear?
Yeah, of course, exactly. I'm also the founding member of the Oklahoma City branch of the Rayados supporters group in Dallas. It's an exclusive club for Oklahoma City expats who live in Dallas and want to support local Dallas soccer when they play Oklahoma City teams.
Okay, so no doubt you will also be supporting those Dallas teams when they play OKC 1889 later this summer, correct?
Well, no, I have a different supporters group for that. That's for IMPS fans who are Oklahoma City expats and live in Dallas for NPSL teams. So.
Okay. How many supporters groups do you have?
Well, I've got those two, and then I've got the third that I made today for the energy.
Okay. All right. I mean,
So you have half as many supporters groups as the energy.
I feel like we should explain why we're even doing this first. We're taking the time on a Thursday evening when I could be, you know, doing anything else.
I can tell you why we're doing this in four words. Karma is a bitch.
Okay, all right, let's do it. Let's dive into a talk real quick because we lit the beacon of Minas Tirith. And we're answering the call, Gondor calls raid, and by that I clearly mean there are tens, if not tens of tens of people on social media clamoring for some sort of change at the Energy FC. And I don't know, I kind of felt like us three have been having conversations about it and we should take it public. So, Alan, why don't you kick us off with your thoughts on the state of Energy FC?
Well, I think I'd like to make it clear out of the doors here. I don't hate the Energy FC. I want to be successful. I understand. Somebody tweeted back at us earlier on, and I think they deleted it, so I won't say who it was. But they said we should be talking about all the amazing things that they do in the community there. Work with Special Olympics, their work with Fields and Futures, their support of youth soccer teams, the local players they've signed. All these things I'm absolutely on board with. They're doing some really, really positive things in the community, and I wish them nothing but success. But it's a soccer club. All the off-field drama is taking away from the fundamental thing. You're not a piece of performance art. You're not United Way. You're a football club. So I'm more than happy to have this person who works for the Energy Front Office. I'll record an interview with him and I'll broadcast it. Not a problem. All the off-field stuff, fair play to you fellas. You're doing really well. The results, 3 goals in 9 games, going 560-something minutes of open play without a goal. That's the point of the club. The point of the club is to play football. All the other stuff is extracurricular. So we might say some cruel things that seem a bit heartless about the energy. But we're talking about the football club. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, this isn't like when we did the episode before and we said some harsh things about their podcast. I mean, Will had made the point. This is, we just be better. We just want good things. But there's so much off-field drama. And after following Rio for the year they were here, off-field drama is right in our wheelhouse. We know what we're talking about. But there's a lot to talk about when the results are how they are. And I think I haven't said it yet. I've been on air 3 minutes. It goes to the big picture of what the f*** are you doing? What is going on? why am I getting text messages from people in England going, hey, isn't that Energy Club your local club? What a sham. Because they're seeing what's going on Twitter. So, might sound cruel, but enough's enough. It's time to not necessarily scorch the earth or be unnecessarily kind, but straight off the bat, the new advisor they hired, he tweeted something about making the club, taking it, you know, even further than it is now and even stronger than it is now. It's not strong. It's falling apart. It's on the bones of its arse, and it's a laughing stock. And if you don't acknowledge the problem, you're not fixing it. We're here to acknowledge the problem, in my opinion.
My question is, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the Energy were actually good. You know, they had a pretty deep playoff run in 2015. My question is mm-hmm. were the supporters groups always this insufferable, or has the team being bad just really turned up the volume on all of that?
Well, they haven't missed the playoffs since their first year. So I think they had four straight years of playoff appearances. I think, as we've discussed previously, there is no unifying drive for the supporters groups now. And I think everyone's getting a little restless is probably what I feel is, you know, everything's getting a little stale. People are getting a little restless. You know, you part ways with a successful manager who is well-liked, and you bring in someone who, I'll be honest, I didn't know very much about, but apparently there's, you know, from what you read on Twitter is Colorado Rapids were not a great organization when he was with them. So I don't know. I don't know what that has to do with the supporters groups, but yeah, something's changed. Something's changed in the north end of the stadium, and it's not just about supporting a soccer team anymore.
No. And if you want to be honest and lay cards on the table, a couple of years ago, and by a couple of years ago, I mean last season, most of these supporters groups didn't exist. I mean, that's the crux of the issue is supporters groups. You have six supporters groups for a small team in a provincial city that's not getting enough people through the gate. You know, last year, North End United, Main Street Greens, the TFI Fridays or whatever it's called, didn't exist. Everyone knew the grid. The grid was the Energy supporters group. Now you've got six. And that's the phrase Williams used before, is Orwellian. You know, it's some sort of Soviet propaganda machine where everything is relentlessly positive. You know, look back when the Indianapolis Colts sold Peyton Manning or released him from his contract and went like 1-15 the next season. I mean, that could be what's happening here. This new manager, you're only 9 games in. Calling for people's head. It's not the Premier League. We have to call Big Sam every 3 weeks. Things might not be that bad. Sometimes you have a bad season. I'm sitting drinking hot chocolate out of a City cup. I told someone the other day, 20 years ago, I sat there and watched City go down to the third division. You have bad seasons. This might just be a bad transitional season. But the supporters groups are really, really not helping, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree 100%, and I think the difference is come to the table and tell us that or make decisions that show that this is a transitional year. You know, one thing I asked you guys was at what point do you stop saying we're going to turn this around, and you look at the table and you have 3 points through 9 games and you just, you know, okay, let's fold it up, let's make some transfers that'll prepare us for next year, and there's no threat of relegation. So, you know, the Open Cup is done. We're out of the Open Cup. So let's just work on our play for next year and stick to our system and, you know, move on. But unfortunately, the other side of that coin is, you know, you hear people from the supporters group saying, show up and support the team, you know, or you're not a real fan or whatever. Condemning actions and banning people and doing self-imposed bans. And I mean, Oklahoma City is a fickle sports town, and we have a lot of fair weather fans. You see it at both universities. Fortunately for the Thunder, they've had two bad seasons since they've been here, and the first bad season was their first season ever. So you're not in a town that is going to support their teams through thick and thin. It's just not going to happen. So the team's not playing well. The soccer is not fun to watch. I just don't think people are going to show up for the games.
Yeah, there's no culture or belief or acceptance for a season or two that you can be the plucky underdog, you know. Who is it is going to the playoff final at Wembley? Fulham or something? They've never been to Wembley before?
Fulham and Aston Villa.
How many times have we said everybody wants to be City but nobody wants to be St. Mark's? Over and over and over again. You don't get to be Chelsea 5 years out of the gate. But the supporters groups and the, if we're going to call a spade, let it be known thou art banned from the 46. Who the fuck are you? You know? Backing the club into a corner with passive aggressive, ridiculous, go to the game, find something to be offended about, lash out, be contrite and apologetic the next day, self-impose yourself a ban, rinse, repeat. Remember when it was fun? You know, we talked about this at Rio. It's supposed to be fun. The thing that unifies people is supposed to be the team. This season, in my opinion, nine games in or whatever it is, the team has allowed itself to be backed into a corner where it's a social justice issues-based community group that occasionally have a losing game of football in the background. To me, the Soviet aspect of it, when I studied journalism, they told us about the Soviet Union, and there'd be headlines in the paper that the grain harvest in Minsk exceeded all expectations this year and was 25% higher than projected. Yay! What that means is everybody else didn't meet their target. You know, it's not reverse psychology, it's propaganda. If you have a supporters group for every shade and every creed and every religion and every stroke of the paintbrush, it implies that why aren't these people in the grid? Why have they got their own support group? Is the grid racist? Is the grid homophobic? Is the grid sexist? Is the grid right wing? You know, whatever it is. Why fracture into so many supporters groups? You're supposed to be able to stand there as a undocumented drag queen in full makeup next to a guy in a Trump hat. Ordinarily, you wouldn't get on, but the team is supposed to bring you together. Those roles have been reversed. The team's allowed itself, in my opinion, to be backed into having to take stands on things. And that's not what it's about. You're a football club, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what Porter's getting at, and you know, is how much of that is impacting the front office versus impacting the play on the field. You know, I think that's probably a stretch, right? But like the team being so bad, so unwatchably bad, that doesn't help, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of people about it, you know.
I'm sorry, I just want to say, you know, I think the difference is like Tulsa also really bad, right? But like you sent me the screenshot from Twitter the other day where like at least their fans are actually aggressively pushing back hard against the front office. And I feel like that's not what's happening in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Well, I say that, I mean, people are rampaging against the manager, but like there's still like a lot of, you know, like, hey, hashtag believe. So I don't know. There's definitely shades of gray with the whole deal. I just think it's interesting to compare and contrast with what's happening in Tulsa.
I think they have separate, I guess they have personality issues with their second year manager. And there's rumors that abound about personal issues that he has, and also issues they have with ownership. And so, yeah, the Roustabouts have actually staged, as far as I know, formal protests and formal boycotts of the game. But that's not one or two people saying, I'm going to impose a self-ban. That's the entire supporter section did not go and hung a banner up in the section that said, can you hear us now? That shows true unity of a supporters group, right? But, Will, to your point, I've talked to a lot of people in the community who are soccer fans who I know are either energy season ticket holders or have consistently gone to games. And when I know that they haven't been there, because I've been to all but two of the home games now, I think, maybe all but one of the home games. And I've heard both sides of the coin. I've heard, well, hey, why aren't you going to the games? Oh, well, we suck, so I don't want to go. You know, I don't want to go waste my time there. Okay, well, that's kind of a shitty thing. But like I said, Oklahoma City is built with fair weather fans. And unfortunately, there's a lot of other stuff to do in our city. And so if you don't want to drive to Taft for that, then okay. I've heard the other side of the coin. Man, I just really just want to go watch a soccer game. And I don't want to be part of a political movement. And I don't want to be involved in all the bullshit. So there's the other side.
Yeah.
I've heard firsthand, and so maybe it's only five people, I don't know, but I've heard directly that is impacting people from going to the game. And you know what? The supporters groups, they might say, good, we don't want those people there anyways. And I think eventually down the road, there's a place to say that, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely make the argument that having a good home field atmosphere, you know, that correlates itself to results on the field. So while it's a couple steps removed, if you're speaking logically, you could argue that all of the off-the-field drama is hurting attendance, is hurting atmosphere, is hurting results. But I'm not making that argument. I'm just saying that one could make that argument.
I don't think the off-the-field stuff or the political grandstanding, if you will, I don't think that's making as big of an impact as we think it does because of what we see on Twitter, you know.
Right.
I think it does make an impact for people that come and stand in the North End who are casual soccer fans who are not diehard members of diehard supporters groups. I do think the play on the field impacts the attendance in the stands everywhere else. And I don't know. You know, I listened to the off-pitch pod talk about or interview Bob and Steve Cook and talk about why the team is playing as poorly as they are. And I can understand that. I can understand a manager coming in right before the season and half of his guys aren't his guys. But there's also a difference between not having guys that fit in your system and subbing a player off in the first half who then throws a temper tantrum all the way to the locker room. That's a little different to me.
Yeah, I think if you're going to throw a temper tantrum at the boss, do it in private or expect to get your ass sold. There is absolutely do not dissent the manager in public because there's nothing will sow disunity quicker than that.
If Jose Barrios was a member of the 46, he would have been called out and condemned, and it would have been let known that he was not welcome in the 46. So,
yeah. And that, I mean, you're talking about the team not playing well. I remember this, obviously, 2 years ago with Riot, when, you know, a few shaky results, people were like, oh, they're shy. And it's like, they're not a team yet. They've already known each other 3 weeks, you know. Is the team playing badly? Or is a group of 11 people and a new manager still finding its feet with each other and not quite gelled into a team yet? You know, if the team's shy, the team's shy. If the players aren't good, the players aren't good. But is it a bigger thing?
I mean, how much roster turnover was there from the players? I mean, I feel like there's a lot of players whose names I've heard for the last couple of years. I don't feel like it's a lot of new players.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. Benefit the doubt.
Half of them, maybe. Yeah.
But I feel like the core of the team is you know, it's still there. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I watched one game with you, Porter. You know, now that was the night of $2 Coronas. So it's not like I was watching very intently. But I saw a team that had a hard time creating chances. And when they did create chances, that you know they couldn't really capitalize on them, and it seemed like there was just some pretty sloppy defending, you know. So I probably would tend to think they're just not that good.
I want
but
you to know
seen,
that
you've watched football for a long time, and you've seen teams that have had a run of bad form and got the 560 whatever minutes without a goal. You could sink the Titanic 3.5 times. So you know you've seen as much as I have. Teams that get into a run of bad form and the players get nervous about trying something. They don't want to put that long ball across the field where the space because the pressure's on to score a goal. You know, that's just, I mean, they might score two this weekend and then go on a fantastic run. But I personally think the pressure for the team to perform isn't helped by the infighting among the supporters groups, the lack of attendance, the off-field antics. It's not that's not 100% responsible for it, but it doesn't help.
Yeah, I agree, but I also wonder how much the players actually know about all that stuff.
I don't know. Let's stop talking in circles. Let's talk about the recent news, which was, I guess, one of the founding owners of the Sacramento Republic is now a consultant for the Energy. And apparently the former president, help me with his last name, Porter, Jeff.
Ewing?
Jeff Ewing
is
with the
former
team.
President.
Okay, a couple questions. One, is this guy still an owner of Sacramento Republic? Two, if he's not, why not? And three, what's he going to be doing? Like, what's he going to be doing for the club?
To answer your first question, is he still an owner? I don't know. I would think no, because I would think there was probably something in the USL that says owners can't collude or can't work with each other, you know, can't be paid by other teams, but I don't know that for a fact. Okay, so I think it sounds like he's going to be taking over, you know, be like the director of football operations and be the general manager of the club. And it sounds like he's been working with the club as a consultant for a couple of weeks. So the press release said helping finish out 2018 and then move into 2019 with what the club wants to accomplish on and off the field, including a soccer-specific stadium for next year.
Yeah, let's dive into that one. Soccer-specific stadium in 2019. What is that going to look like? What could that look like? And the reason, and let's also talk about why that won't mean or should not mean or can't mean Taft.
So I think they specifically mentioned 2019 season, which is less than a year away. So that's securing land, securing a lease, popping up a stadium, which I think is what it'll look just like Phoenix Rising, which if you go out, you know, you can find the time lapse of their stadium going up, which their stadium went up in an extremely short amount of time, I mean a month or less, from a field to stands, a playable pitch, everything. So totally doable. Totally doable. Kind of shocking, I think, and totally different from the traditional path or the path that they have had, which I think was more along the lines of find a permanent spot to relocate to, build a permanent stadium that is expandable from whatever capacity they build it to up to 20,000 seats, which, you know, if they find the right piece of land, if they've been working on the Wheeler District land behind closed doors and they've got a lease lined up, then boom, you know, they're there. They could do a temporary stadium there and just build up around it. Now,
Bob say there were like 5 locations on the short list or something?
Yes, that's correct.
But Taft, from what I've been led to believe and seeing with my own two eyes, isn't big enough. It's very, very thin. It's not wide enough. It's not regulation.
Yes, it's too narrow to meet. Yeah.
My biggest issue with Taft is just the tracker on the field. I mean, it just makes it hard to see the game. Otherwise, I think it's great.
They put a lot of money and time into it. It's very impressive. But if the field's not big enough, the field's not big enough.
I think renovating Taft was a partnership between Energy FC, Fields and Futures, which is a separate organization, and Oklahoma City Public Schools. And I don't know how much, if any, money Oklahoma City Public Schools contributed to it. I don't know if there was a bond measure that contributed to it, but I'm sure that the Energy and Fields and Futures, you know, fronted most of the cost to renovate the stadium. And now, like I said to you guys earlier, it is used for, it's a multi-sport high school, middle school, high school stadium. And it's something that that part of the city really needed. So I think it's great, and it will be great. It'll continue to be great. My biggest concern is if you move to a temporary stadium, do you lose quality in terms of concessions and
bathrooms and shelter and everything else that you have there at Taft? Do you know that's brick and mortar?
I don't know. I bet that that's manageable. I can tell you one thing for sure is that if this new temporary stadium, or if it's some, if it is a permanent stadium somewhere else and it's not in Oklahoma City proper, I'm going to have a field day with the grid for making such a big deal about Rio OKC not actually being in OKC proper.
Yeah, I know you're probably salivating over that, but I don't see any way that it's outside of the Oklahoma City limits.
Well, we'll find out.
In the city somewhere.
We'll find out. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it will be.
But you see, no, I don't want to go back to the boys groups, but that's something that I witnessed on Twitter the other week, was when Drogba played in Tulsa, because they play in a baseball stadium. Someone tweeted to Colin something about, you know, Drogba won't play at Taft because it's turf, artificial turf. And the immediate response was, well, who did the Imps play in Tulsa? What did they lose by? And it's like, if the Imps played Real Madrid in the Champions League final and beat them 35-0, would that make Taft real grass? No, it wouldn't. You're distracting from the point. The point is a fair point. Major stars are not going to play on artificial turf. You need a grass pitch. Instead of going, yes, we're working towards it, the knee-jerk reaction is, yeah, but you're worse, or yeah, but Rio, or just the same, yeah, but Rio's in UConn, whatever. That sort of distracting from the issues you know you have. It's an issue playing on official turf. It was, I'm sure, never meant to be permanent. Acknowledge that and go, yeah, we know that. Drug was not going to play here. We're moving towards real grass. Don't knee-jerk with two wrongs make a right. You know, that sort of attitude is pervasive, and that's not good.
Sure. Yeah, agreed.
Because that leads
Porter,
people who are cynical and miserable like me, to go, why are we talking about a stadium again? Why is it every time something goes wrong or every time everything's not perfect, it's like jangling keys in front of a baby. We wheel out, we're going to have a new stadium, everybody, and the supporters go, yay, it's stadium time again. Yeah, build a stadium or don't build a stadium, but don't keep wheeling out this wave the shiny thing. That'll stop them talking about how we can't score a goal. No. Come on now. Be better than that, front office.
That makes sense to me as well. That does make sense to me.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a little bit more self-realization from everyone involved. Like, just don't. It bothers me too. When people get very defensive like that, it screams insecurity. And so I don't know. I mean, look, the club's been here 5 years. I saw a tweet today out there that was talking about how the Energy is the worst run professional or worst run Division II club in America. No, I disagree with that. I think Rio OKC, the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, the New York Cosmos, I mean, pick one. You know, almost any of the NASL clubs when they were Division II were probably the San Francisco Deltas. They were all worse.
More poorly run.
And I can tell you why is because guess what? Even if the Energy are operating in the red and have been every year for 5 years, after 5 years, they're still fielding a team. They're still playing. And guess what? They are still growing their academy, no matter how much you want to say that they're doing it via nefarious means. I mean, they're growing in certain areas, but, Alan, it goes back to like to what you said at the beginning of the pod, which was the first team is the reason you exist. The energy doesn't exist to be solely an academy. You know, it should all build up to the first team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chelsea celebrates their ladies teams. They celebrate their under 18 teams, but the first team is what everyone is there for.
First team first. And that, I mean, that's an absolutely spot on point. They've been here for 5 years. Well, there's a part of me that goes, well, 5 years? Seriously? Come on, you should be better than this. But that's not realistic. The two big tornadoes we had in the space of a week were 5 years ago this month. Someone texted me, sent me a text and says, do you want to feel old? The Phantom Menace came out 19 years ago. Feels like about 6 years. We've had Jar Jar Binks in our life for 19 years. 5 years is nothing. But they're still here, and they're still fielding a team, and they're still working. That is to be respected. Because there are thousands of clubs that can't say that.
Well, I think there's no doubt. I have had very limited interactions with the inner workings of the Energy, but poorly run. I would say the worst poorly run is a stretch, you know, definitely a stretch at best, and, you know, poorly run maybe, but I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, I think worst case scenario, it's a competent group of operators who have a lot of experience. So, you know, I think there's no doubt that the ownership and the front office, those guys are all committed to the club. Even if, like, tactically, there are a lot of things that, you know, there are a lot of byproducts of their tactical decisions that we strongly disagree with, but, you know, that's not evidence of being a poorly run front office. So
there's things that go up and down, but I mean, they've been in business 5 years longer than my football club. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
Poorly run or well run or winning the Champions League or going out of business. No, they're doing better than me or you or almost everybody else in the world.
Alan, do you want to give a brief Imps update?
Do I? Do I want to give a brief Imps update? See, there again, see, bear in mind, I started off saying nice things, okay? You have to remember that if anybody's actually listening to this. I started off saying nice things. But the Imps, that's another example. That's with the supporters groups and the stuff on Twitter and the off-field antics and whether the players know what's going on, and it all contributes to an atmosphere of discomfort. And to me, Porter, you said before that you're glad you're not in the position where you have to run this or fix this or make these decisions. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I don't work for a club that's been hijacked. Yes.
Yeah. And I completely agree, but if Bob Funk were to accidentally call me and go, hey, you're a condescending European, what do you think? I would tell him, loosen your grip. How many times, I know personally, at least twice, was I in contact with Angie going, hey, you do all these amazing things. Please put me on your press mailing list and I'll come and cover them. Never once had an email from them. You're hiding the good things you do because you're not spreading the message apart from through certain channels, up to and including, God help me, the lost ogle, and the negative things are being brushed under the carpet. You're trying to control the message.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. That lost ogle article was so cringeworthy. It was so bad, and that was the one game that I went to is what that article was based on. So I know they left out some of the facts, but good Lord, that was such a cringeworthy article.
Can we talk about how the Lost Ogle, like not more than 6 months ago, shit all over the Daily Oklahoman because they have paid content that they're trying to pass off as actual real content, printed content that's not paid. And then here they are doing it. So, number one, that's a problem. Number two, could they send anyone worse to cover the game? Because the article ended up just saying, like, guys kicked balls. This happened. That happened. A lot of beer was drank. People yelled obscenities. But they didn't yell as many obscenities as they used to. Like, okay, that really makes me want to go to a soccer game. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Not sound exciting at all from that person's perspective. And, that was uninspiring.
But that...
Speaking of tactical mistakes that the ownership has made...
Obsession with control. Crazy.
Imps.
Well, Imps, and then also do we want to answer some of these Twitter questions?
I do want to, yes. So
That whole thing with the Imps, that's what led to that mini-rant.
Yep.
Okay, so, yeah, in my opinion, too much front office control of the message. It's strangling the the fun aspect. It's the expressive aspect. It's too tight. And that tied with the fact that they're, in my opinion, way too reactionary. That reaction, as opposed to being offensive and creative, is that bugs me. And that comes, here we go, it was a long journey, but thanks for coming with me, to the Imps. We did a podcast. I remember sat there in your apartment, Will, and we talked about the Imps, and you sang John Philip Sousa songs, and we talked about the Imps in Oklahoma City FC. And then they launched
That's right.
their own podcast 2 weeks later. And if you have a podcast, it might be fun, it might be entertaining, it might be all sorts of things. But if you're paid by your employer to say nice things about your employer, you're in advertising. You're not in opinion or podcasting. Nothing against those fellas. But that, to me, jumping to wild conclusions, seemed like a reaction to us talking about the Imps. Maybe I'm wrong, but they got three guys, and it feels very familiar, especially those early episodes, felt very, very familiar as a reaction to us talking about the Imps. See?
Well,
there was a point to that. There we go.
Yeah, okay. So let me say a couple words on that, because I've gone back and listened to a couple of their episodes, and I realize what's missing. And this is just going to feed into your themes perfectly, Alan, unfortunately, which is they just don't, there's no contrarian viewpoints on their podcast. And I don't know if it's because they're all Manchester United fans, or they're all Energy employees, or they're not allowed to, but it just, there's no back and forth. There's no bickering. There's no contrarian anything. It's just spoon fed same, you know, the same stuff. And they're all on board. It's like, it's boring because you know what you're going to hear before you even turn it on.
Okay. Yeah, and it's nothing against those fellas. I mean, I've listened to some of them, but you start to think, are they nervous about getting fired? You know, have they been told, shiny, happy people, don't deviate? You know, so it takes a spark missing.
Let's talk about the Imps. God, so we can wrap this podcast up.
Okay, so they played two games. And they drew one and lost one.
Yeah.
Is that right? And how many people were at the home?
And that concludes Imps Talk.
Yeah.
how many people were there? A couple hundred?
Okay, they played Little Rock Rangers Thursday in the football stadium that looks like it holds about 80,000 people. And that was
cool.
A 1-1 draw. They played their first home game, Norman North High School. I was just looking at a photograph. You could probably count them. There were, I would say, between 125 and 150 people in that one stand. And
okay,
some
so
people
a little bit
more there,
than...
some people had left. Let's go ahead and be generous. Let's use UFL numbers. There were 480,000. There were, I'd say, 150. Ballpark at its peak, 150, somewhere around there. Now, that stand probably holds 300 people tops. So it felt full. It felt like you weren't squeezed in, but there were enough people there, you know?
Yeah.
That's a part of the problem with TAF or a new stadium, or you want to build a 20,000-seat stadium. 400 people in a stadium the size of Wembley, they can't, you could sing Row, Row, Row Your Boat on your own with just the echoes. The Imps felt like a good crowd because the sound's not very big. That's what you want. So, yeah, 150 people maybe.
Cool.
But they lost 1-0.
Well, that sucks. All right, Twitter questions. Who wins, Energy FC or a team of Bear Cubs? This is from @Chance_Tosh. And I appreciate Chance_Tosh's I appreciate that reference. I mean, he's been a long-time listener of the podcast. And Chance, this is what I like to call the Bear Cub fallacy. Because if you know anything about Bear Cubs, you know that they usually are most commonly born in litters of two. So if you've got 11 Bear Cubs running around a soccer pitch, that means you got 5 or 6 mama bears must be nearby. And so the answer is the Mama Bears win when they rampage into the stadium and are mauling players and supporters alike to keep their cubs safe. So that's the answer to that question. Everybody loses.
Huh.
No, it sounds like the Bears.
Yes, the Bears win. Okay, question, why does Bob Funk Jr. hate Oklahoma sports? As addressed, I don't think that he does. It sounds like you guys would agree with me.
Oh.
Best local college games to watch when the OKC 89 season ends. I'm going to throw out there Oklahoma City University.
OU Women's.
All right.
And
Alan?
Buy a television, watch Premier League, college football stuff.
All right, good, good. This one, we don't have time to really bite off, but where do you see Oklahoma soccer in 5 years? I have a not very positive view. I have a not very positive answer, so I don't really want to get into it, though. But, you guys?
Where would you like to see Oklahoma football in 5 years?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Just something different than what there is today. I don't have a good answer. I don't want to get into it too much. What's your answer?
All I want is lower division pro rel. Okay, I've even given up on MLS pro rel. I just want lower division pro rel, where a team like the Imps, because even you are, Alan, we're all manufacturing this rivalry between the Imps and the Energy, or comparisons at least, right? And the fact of the matter is, they're completely different sides right now. I mean, they're sharing a pool of players, but that's about it. You know, the Imps fans are going to come from South Oklahoma City Norman. The Energy fans are going to come from North Oklahoma City Edmond. They're three divisions away from each other. But if 5 years from now there was a way for them to, you know, work their way into a division together that was financially stable and financially relevant, and by that I mean, like in the Energy's case, there was an article that came out, I don't remember who wrote it, but the winner of the USL doesn't get like a cash prize, whereas in almost every league in the world, if you win the league or you place well in the league, you get a cash prize. So not only is there no relegation, there's no reason for them to continue playing well through the tail end of the season, but there's really, I mean, all you win is a cup, and then your 1 year contract is done, so you're literally playing for yourself to put yourself out there to try to get a bigger contract for the next year with somebody else. So where do I want to play soccer? Yeah, exactly. Where do I want to see soccer in 5 years? I want to see longer-term, lower-division contracts, and I want to see a financially stable pyramid.
Perfect. Great answer. Let's wind this down. Let's wrap this up with a little bit of fun. So one of the running jokes about the Energy is that, you know, they named their North Stand the 46. And that has also coincided with, you know, multiple supporters groups being founded. There's a joke about there's, you know, 46 supporters groups. So we're going to do our part tonight, and we have each come up with our own energy supporters group that we're going to be launching and founding tonight. We're going to be announcing them now. So I'm happy to start, unless either Porter or Alan want to start.
No, please, by all means, go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
Okay, so my new supporters group, which I'm proud to announce tonight, is a supporters group for hardcore Civil War reenactors who also happen to love the Energy. And we're going to call ourselves the Home Guard, which is a reference to members of the five tribes, the five Indian tribes who are in Oklahoma, who were loyal to and fought for the Union. And also that's a nod to the Northern Guard, which is our sister supporters group in Detroit. And so because we really want to focus on inclusion for all members of our supporters group, we're going to be asking the club to hang both the Confederate battle flag and a Federalist battle flag from 1862 and the 46, so that all members feel included. And yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it. We're going to wear all wool, blue and gray replica uniforms to matches. Yeah, hardcore Civil War reenactors who also love the energy, please get in contact with me on Twitter.
Will there be a reenactment on the field at halftime?
I'm thinking what we're going to do is like the Patriots do. We're going to fire our muskets after goals.
Okay. All right. All right.
I have a question about your support group, Will.
Yeah.
If I have money to buy one scarf, should I buy a team scarf and give that money to the team? Or will your supporters group, like many others, immediately run down the merchandising avenue and try and sell me stuff that doesn't benefit the team at all?
We would only accept payment in Confederate States of America grayback dollars, which were worthless pretty much from the minute that they were printed. So it's not really an issue that we have to worry about.
Okay. Okay, all right. My supporters group is named the Unconquered and Unconquerable 39. So playing into the numbers theme that already exists in the north end of Taft. And it is a supporters group for Native Americans who live in Oklahoma and are also hardcore supporters of NRGFC. 39 being obviously the number of tribes in the state of Oklahoma. So we would ask the front office to hang one flag for each of the 39 tribes. at that stadium. We would... We would wear traditional Native American garb to the matches, complete with blue and green war paint. And like the Portland Timbers, we'll chop down a tree after every goal with the hatchet.
I was thinking you could do a mock scalping of the fan of the opposing team. Now, Porter, question
wow.
for you. I'm quite sure that I have some Native American blood running through these veins because I could walk real quiet, but I'm not on the rolls anywhere. And so I'm wondering would I be able to join the 39?
I don't know. We haven't really got that far yet. We're going to have a Humblechia, a vision quest in the next couple of weeks. We're all going to go into
It just seems like you should be more inclusive than less inclusive.
Yeah, so. We're real cautious of the white man. So we're going to have to be real careful. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see about letting you into the 39. The unconquered and unconquerable 39.
All right. Alan, you're up.
Wow. I didn't put as much thought into it as you two apparently did. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a supporters group for the energy that's going to tweet every day to Bob Funk Jr. and Sean Jones. I'm going to call the supporters group, "What the Funk Are We Doing?" And it's going to push for Bob Funk to come out and go, "Yeah, I did some things I'm not proud of. Maybe I didn't do the right thing. Time to move on." And for Sean Jones to do the same thing. And for all soccer in this city to be united, run by two people that care about it. The Energy's female academy. Shawn Jones has a huge history of success, runs now a league of female players. Why do we need a female academy? They should be working together. So me and the other member of What the Funk is Going On, who is an unnamed sock monkey, will be pushing this every day on Twitter. And that's the only issue we'll have. And we'll be
you
naked.
Think there's...
All right.
Let it be known
I had a whole
that you're not welcome in this conversation.
Yeah.
So you're excluding me from What the Funk is Going On?
I said let it be known. I didn't stutter.
All right. Good
All
talk.
Right. Well, let's wrap this up. Good talk, guys. I'm glad we were able to make this work. If you're listening,
I'm actually really unhappy with the way this turned out because I can tell we're all really rusty and we all hate not being in the same room with each other. So clearly not our best work, but also the reason why we hung it up, right?
That's right. Yeah, for sure.
So
on that
whatever.
Note, Porter, while you're on here, you'll see the Imps have published a schedule and most of their away games are in Dallas, where William lives. I'm saying road
yes.
trip.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, that's awesome.
I probably actually, I would probably be more inclined to, I don't want to use the word if, but I'll use the word if. If I make an Imps game this summer, it will probably have a better chance of being in Dallas than in Oklahoma because, quite frankly, Norman is a long way to drive on a Saturday or Sunday evening for someone like myself. Also, do they serve beer at the Imps
game? It's much more convenient to go to Dallas.
Yeah,
you know, you drive through Norman to get to Dallas, you halfwit. No, they don't. It's in a high school stadium, no beer.
Oh. What is this, UConn?
All right. Let's shut it down. Everybody go home.
Shut it down. Let's go home. God, we suck.